Today's podcast is brought to you by the Herzog Foundation. Today, the Bachelor TV personality Gillian Anderson King talks about her experience on the iconic reality show and how motherhood has changed her. Plus, former NFL safety Jack Brewer talks about his outreach to the underserved. Stay with us. This is the Moms for America podcast. Each week, leaders and everyday champions tell personal stories, share advice, and tackle the issues most important to moms. Hi, moms. I'm Debbie Corlettis, your host, and welcome to the Moms for America podcast. We're so glad that you're joining us again this week. So welcome, welcome, welcome. Every episode, we get together to inspire, encourage, and educate moms in their journey through motherhood. All right, well, let's get on to today's program. 10 years ago, after a breakup, Gillian Anderson King was encouraged by her Fox TV coworkers to apply to be on The Bachelor. It was the world's most popular reality TV series at the time. Well, she did. And let's just say that her life hasn't been the same since. Well, Gillian, welcome to the Moms for America podcast. We're so glad to have you joining us today.
So happy to finally be here.
Yay. All right. Well, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Can't wait to get into some of this because you've got the 10 years, there's been a lot of changes for you, basically, right? You've got a beautiful tribe. Tell us about your family now and introduce us to them, the kids.
So I am a mom of two, and I was the founder, president, and CEO of I'm Never Gonna Have Kids Club. That was me. So here I am.
Well, and what
I'm
a change,
begging
huh?
For more, God willing.
Good for you. Good for you.
Whatever way that works out. But right now I have two children. I have a little set of Irish twins, meaning they were born about a year apart. So almost a year apart to the day. So I have Nixon is my firstborn. He just turned two. And Kennedy is my secondborn. And she just turned one. So
you are busy.
There's a theme there. And my husband's name is Michael. So that's our little tribe. Hopefully, God willing.
God willing. Yeah. And I will tell you this. And again, the Lord blesses. But I always, every mom that I talk to, including myself, if you ever ask them, do you wish you had more kids? And I don't know, except only one person that had 10 children told me, no, they were glad not to have any more after 10. But yeah, take them if the Lord gives them to you. And you know, what a blessing they are. And good for you. Boy, you're busy right now. Those are busy years.
This age is a funny age. It's a funny age, especially because we don't have a lot of help and people underestimate it, myself included, underestimated like family and living close to family because we do not. We don't live by anybody. So it's a lot for us, but it is like, it's one of those things where like the days are long, but it goes by fast, right?
Yeah.
The whole thing. And like, it all goes by way too fast. So even when like you're in it and you're busy, it's such a blessing still at the end of the day.
Yeah. Well, they'll be 20 before you know it. So hug them as much as you can.
But that's
and enjoy
why, like,
it.
That's a theory I have. If you keep having kids, you stop like being sad about the growing phases.
Yeah.
So when my son was getting older, I was pregnant. I'm like, oh, well, I'm about to have this again, So I know that baby phase is, going to come back. I knew that. So if you just keep having more kids, you'll stop being sad about them growing up. It's just a theory, working on it. But
yeah, well, good for you. Good for you, mama. Let's talk a little bit about, we're going to get into kind of your background with The Bachelor and all that, but I do want to kind of announce here in the beginning of the program that you're going to be one of our mom ambassadors. Mm-hmm. And our mom ambassadors are moms that have a great following in their community, and they share Moms for America information and kind of let them know about the things that we're doing for Moms for America and kind of represent us in the world of social. So welcome to the team.
Happy to be a part of it. I know I met with the founder, right? Debbie in the back room of an event we were both at. And I was just, chit chatting away. And she's like, you gotta know what I said, I don't know what you do. And she's telling me all about it. She's like, yeah, you have to be a part of it. Sold right there.
Yeah. Well, that's it. You know, moms all across the country, right? We all need each other. And we say this, we're the ultimate support group. So, letting your community know, the followers that you have on Instagram and so forth about Moms for America and us letting people hear your story like today on the podcast, this is what we do. We inspire each other as moms.
Yeah, I just love it. I love it. And you definitely need a gang. You do need a gang. And I always say, you know, especially in the field which I work, like I think a war chest of moms is way more valuable than a war chest of money any day.
So true. So true. And we're all yes and amen. Our treasure here is at home with our kids and our families, and nothing replaces that. But let's, now that you kind of mentioned, you know, just your career, and let's talk about how you became an influencer. In your early 20s, if I understand this, you were actually working at the Fox News Channel. And that was that. What did you want to be when you grow up? Is that what you wanted? Did you want to
Oh,
be in the media?
well, actually, I was a biochem major and I wanted to be a dentist when I grew up.
Really?
I know, I wanted to go get
And you
laser
get
again.
crazy when you hear people's stories like this. You're
I
like,
know,
oh,
and
that is so interesting.
I wasn't happy, and I was praying on it and praying on it, and I was really good at science and stuff, but I was praying on it, and honestly, I was watching Rudolph and Susterin show, and it hit me. God said, while I was watching that program, you're going to work at Fox News. That's what he said. And I knew no one there. And just a lot of those kind of places, you kind of have to know someone to get
Right.
hired. But I switched my majors and I started doing other things and building up my resume in college to work in TV production. And right out of college, I moved to DC, did not have a job. And within a couple of weeks, I had three different job interviews at Fox News, all by the grace of God. And I received a couple options. So I was super, super blessed. So I started out in the booking unit in the daytime shows, putting people on TV. That was my first job. And it was a lot of fun because in the DC bureau, you get to meet a lot of people. And I'm like a chatty Cathy and I genuinely love people. So I became friends with a lot of these people along the way. So that was really fun.
Okay, so now you're single, working at Fox. You're looking for love, maybe a little bit. You weren't in a
No, I
relationship,
wasn't
or
single because I know what you're leading up to. I
yeah.
had a boyfriend, and I had a boyfriend who was having like some sort of crisis where he emailed me one day at my Fox News email while I was at work, and he was like,
Okay.
"You know what? I quit my job. I'm moving to Florida, and we're breaking up." I
Oh
was like,
boy.
"Okay,
Wow.
that's weird." It was a lot. So at
Yeah.
the time, the whole booking unit and within Fox News, we were all fans of the show, right? We were all fans of The Bachelor. We had bachelor brackets. And so they said, Jillian, well, you have to apply. You
Oh,
just got.
because now you're single, you got to go
Now I'm
for it.
single. I have kind of a cool job. I also was working for the Washington Redskins and I was a fitness competitor. So they're like, okay, this is a really cool type path if we ever saw one. So Jillian, you're gonna do it. So it was a collective effort. And everyone was in on it. I mean, Brett Baer knew, Chris Wallace knew, the late Charles Krauthammer knew, everyone knew. We were all in on it. The camera guys from Fox News actually came and shot my audition video and everything, and
Oh,
I knew it.
funny.
Yeah, after I submitted it, I was the first cast for my season.
So did you think before we get any further, did you think you're going to make it? Did you think you
No,
were?
the
Everybody
honestly,
else thought so, but did you?
the makeup artist there, my friend, she had the most faith in me. The booking unit was super supportive as well, but because we're all TV producers, right? So we understand
Right.
what
They
makes
love
good
the,
TV. And they're
yeah, you're
like,
in the
this is.
industry.
This makes sense. And that's how I knew to edit it. Like, I knew how to edit it well. They're like, you need X amount of minutes. And I was like, no, that's embarrassing. That's way too long. And I knew exactly what I was doing when I was editing the audition video. I knew I could give them this, or this. And I definitely spiced things up and like exaggerated a lot of things. But I knew if they wanted this
That's
kind
how
of
you get
girl, they could
in.
get me. They wanted this kind of girl, they can get that. I was not stupid in the way that I submitted my audition, but I knew that. At the show, at the time, and this is not in 2025 time where we have Peacock, Hulu, all
Right.
these outlets. Back then, when I did this, it was still cable news was king, or cable TV was king. That's all you were watching.
Sure,
There
right.
wasn't, so everyone was watching. It was the number one reality show at the time. So millions of people. It wasn't like one of dating shows, it was the dating show.
Right,
So I knew
right.
it was hard, but I prayed on it and I kind of like stopped for my audition process because it's a long process. And people go, oh, well, I made it one round. I go, yeah, there's a lot of rounds. So
Yeah.
not really. And even when you make it to finals in LA, you're one of 300 and there's only usually only 20 girls that get picked. So even when you make it to finals, like that's hard. You still aren't it yet.
Yeah,
But
it's a long process.
yeah, so I got after I submitted my video, they're like, you're coming to finals. Like we haven't even met you yet, but you're coming to come to LA for sure. And then I was the first chosen. They told me that in the call. And I was like, wow, something about me makes good TV. And I
Were
didn't
you
know
scared?
about that. Yeah.
I kind of would be, from afar. Well, one, you watch the show, you're not sure really what's real, what's not real in the show, but we'll get into
Yeah.
that. But then the fact that, you're going to go on national television to find love. I mean, were you kind of intimidated, or were you 100% in?
So it's a weird process because depending on when you're chosen, because this process of picking the cast goes on for weeks. I was the first pick. So in the time I was chosen, I actually didn't know who The Bachelor was. So I didn't know who I was seeking
Okay.
love from yet, you know? And so
Okay.
that was weird. Although I did find out before I got there, I didn't know they picked me before they picked him because
Okay.
they still had to see what America wanted, right? They're playing to an audience as well. So they were
Sure.
deciding before, between a few people themselves, and they ask you, hey, who would you want? And you give out your suggestions beforehand. Not that I don't know how much of a difference that makes, but
Right.
whatever, that's true. So I did find out who my bachelor was before I left, and I was just completely open-minded. Like I wasn't, some girls go to completely obsessed with whoever it is, and I didn't feel that way. I just thought I could meet a guy anywhere, right? Maybe my husband, I meet at the bachelor mansion, maybe I meet him at the gym. I was just totally open-minded. This could work, it could
Okay.
not work. You know, so I people ask me, were you really in there for love? I go, I wasn't in love. I didn't know him. I go, but I was really open-minded about
Right.
the opportunity. And if it didn't work, it didn't work.
Well,
And that's
you see a
really
lot
how
of
black
the
and white it was for me.
right, but we have seen, women in the past where they're like, I just came here because I wanted to find my husband, and they're just
Oh, yeah.
so, torn up about all the aspects of this. It sounds like you went in a little bit more open-minded. If it happened, it happened. If it didn't, it didn't. Is that how I'm
Yeah, and
reading
that
it?
didn't really, that wasn't something that sit well with the producers. So,
Correct, yeah.
and they would reiterate time and again that Jillian, like millions of people wanted this opportunity, and you
Right.
sound like you don't care and you just brush it off. I go, well, reality, if he doesn't like me, I don't want to be here. But like,
Right.
that doesn't make for good TV, one.
Sure.
And two, you sounded appreciative for the millions of girls who were begging to be with this guy. So, yeah, a lot of what you see, like, they will never, it's not scripted. It's motivated and encouraged, the words that you say or things that and they could talk to me a little straighter because I was a producer and I understood. Okay, well, all right, I get it. So,
Yeah.
you have to kind of change what you're sharing with
Yeah.
America,
Sure.
keeping all those things in mind.
Right. At the end of the day, it's reality TV and people want to see the drama. That's really
Yeah,
why.
heavy on the TV,
Yeah.
light
Yeah.
on the reality.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. How manipulated, how scripted, what did you kind of walk away with as far as what your behind the scenes of it was really
I
like?
actually passed my 10 years, so I can actually talk about this more freely than I've ever been able to talk about it.
Okay, so you couldn't reveal much before
Yeah,
now. Okay.
so they will claim this and own it, and it's true. It is not scripted. It is highly encouraged. So an example that I was talking about where, hey, Jillian, you can't say that. That's too, like, people can't relate to that. You're going to come up, people are going to hate you if you say that. So, like, let's switch it up. And then they do find opportunities to kind of press into you and your insecurities, things that you love, things that you're fearful of. Like, they know before you go in a hot air balloon that you are scared of heights. They know that. They know that if
So
you go on
then maybe they
stage.
would pick a hot air balloon, right? So
Yeah,
like they
and that
would.
wasn't me. That happened to my friend. But I
No,
mean,
but
they
I'm
know
just
this. So
saying
you,
as
before
an
you go on the
example.
show, you're psych evaluated. You sit. There's PIs on you. I mean, every dirty secret you've had, every DUI, you got a divorce. You are in. You went to some court with your ex-wife. I mean, they know everything about you. If you have
Oh boy.
nudie pictures on a website and they can use that against you, they will. If your mom has cancer and they want to bring that up at a timely opportunity to make you cry, they will. If all these things happen. Hey, your dad died. They're going to use it against you in a time where they need you to cry and look really, really sad. They're going to make you look vulnerable, and they're going to encourage certain things. And some people play into it way easier than others. Some people actually feel those things. So I don't want to discredit people who actually are feeling the feelings that you are seeing. Other times it's just like, hey, Jillian, let's like,
Can you give us a little bit more? Can you
So
just
yeah, like,
right?
hey, what would you do if so and so got the rose and you didn't? Oh, that'd be sad. But you know, if he doesn't like me, and they go, Jillian, come on. Okay, I'd be pissed. I'd be pissed if you got the rose and I didn't
They
like it.
kind of get
Jillian,
you,
come on. Carly, she was mean to you. Okay, I'd be really pissed off if he picked her over me. I go, Jillian. And then they would say, Carly said X, Y, and Z about you. Okay. You know, and I lay into a little more, Jillian, what would you do? I lay the smack down on Carly if she got the rose before me. And they go, that's it. That's what we
That's what
wanted,
we
you know?
want.
And
That's the
so,
take we want.
yeah. So was it scripted? No. Did they press you? Yes.
They
So
led you. They led you where they wanted
yeah,
you to
and you
go.
know, it took me like 2 seconds to kind of
To figure
realize
it
what my
out.
edit was going to be after a while. I was not to be taken seriously, that's for sure. And I was going to be this macho like chick. And so everything was like, beat her up, lay the smack down, flex, like everything. They leaned into like my muscly character, which I didn't foresee that was gonna be like my typecast that they chose and my
Isn't that
character that I gave
funny?
them, but that was what I gave, so they
Well,
chose
then
it. It
that's what
worked.
they ran with. Who
Yeah,
was your
so
batch?
every
Who
date that
what?
I was on was one that I would excel in physically, and I would just dominate everything that I did, and they knew that and
Look at
they leaned
that.
into that.
Oh, that's crazy. Who was your bachelor? Not
So my
that I
bachelor was Chris Soules. He was the farmer from Iowa, season 19.
Wow. So
So
how
we had
many
a
see
lot of friends in common. Yeah, he was a conservative, a well-known, God-loving conservative farmer. You know, kind of made sense. And back then when I did it, the world was different, the culture was different, and it was okay to be a God-fearing conservative going on a reality show. So he was, and as was I. Even WAPO did numerous articles about me as a DC local saying, this DC Fox Newser is going to go on and find love. And it actually makes sense. He's a conservative that also loves God. And that was okay. And in 2025, I would probably not be on the show, or I would be some racist bigot or whatever else they want to brand me
Oh,
as,
right. Could you
you
imagine the
know?
storyline? Wouldn't you love to do that? Wouldn't you like to see the storyline they would give you now?
No, I feel like I would be so canceled.
I know. They would be. But it's crazy because what's
But
the
I got a
difference of 10
backbone
years?
now. 2025, Julian also has a backbone that I didn't have then. So who knows?
And it just shows you how much the culture has changed and how they just
Yes.
rewrite everyone and characterize them and make them just to be awful people because they have any kind of traditional family values. I mean,
I
come
mean,
on.
God forbid. I mean, it is lightening up. So I should say in 2020, it would have been canceled. 2025, maybe less canceled, but probably not mainstream media.
So how many episodes were you on?
I honestly, I don't remember. I made it probably halfway through. And to be completely honest, they were like, you are a TV producer and you are breaking through the fourth wall and you can no longer be here. So me getting the boot was definitely, oh, I knew it was coming.
And
Yeah,
when
so.
you look back on it, I mean, obviously it helped with exposure. Is it something that you would ever do again? Or well, you did do it again. I
I'm
shouldn't say
married, so
that. I mean, wow, I
hey,
forgot you.
I think I would still go on like MTV's a challenge. I like a physical activity. You know, just count me out of Survivor. That's too hardcore. Can't do it, won't do it. But yeah, so usually when you're in the reality TV world, you get asked to do a bunch of them. So I did an ABC spinoff, but like after that, I got asked to do a few other like lesser known things on like E and like weird TV channels, not saying E is, but like other weird TV channels. So like your name is now like on a Rolodex. And so other people trying to pick you up. So people do like couples counseling shows, even if they don't need couples counseling, they just want the paycheck. So that does happen. But I mean, I don't know, right opportunity, God let it. Maybe I would do it. Not The Bachelor because I'm married, but it was
And
different. And so we didn't have
what did you walk away with in your mind, like the
friends and a lot
experience
of
when you
tears. I
okay.
mean, honestly, back then influencers, like they weren't a thing. You were
No.
not, You were not making money off being an influencer back then. Like back then, I would get some free protein shakes, a free teeth whitener. Like that was influencing back then. So it wasn't the same. Now you can do it. And one, the unfortunately, the TV shows are kind of a dime a dozen now. It's not like the big thing that it was. But at the same time, you get a little bit of exposure and you can make a lot of money. It just wasn't the same. We didn't have podcasts. We were still like old school blogging then. So some people made blogs, some people, if you were crazy, you had a YouTube channel. But we were still doing like the writing blogs then. We didn't do like Instagram or we, that was like, I maybe had, that's when you had the old school filters. I maybe had like five posts at the time. Facebook was still king. That was the era in which I was on. So, it didn't benefit me like maybe it could have benefited me today, I guess, in the influencer world. It did give me a different platform for sure, somewhat. Definitely is a conversation icebreaker. That's what it gave me. It gave me a lot of complications in my career. But now I probably take advantage of it more than I did 10 years ago.
Well,
I hid
I'm
it for a long time. I
yeah,
like cut
well,
it out of my life because
you
it
what?
wasn't as like it wasn't as beneficial as it could have been.
All right, moms, we'll be right back with more from Jillian right after this short break. Hi, moms. I'm excited to share some news about our new sponsor, the Herzog Foundation. We know you're passionate about raising patriots and empowering your children with the best education possible. And the Herzog Foundation shares that passion. They're dedicated to promoting liberty through education freedom and helping parents like you choose the best educational path. They offer a powerhouse of resources designed to support families and schools alike. Whether you're ready to dive in headfirst to the world of education or simply looking for more ways to empower your child's learning. From free training events to their must-read online publication, The Lion, they're committed to keeping you informed about what's happening in education. Also, if you've ever thought, moms, about starting your own Christian school or co-op, their School Box online course will give you everything you need to get started on the right foot. Again, we are so proud to partner with the Herzog Foundation, and we encourage you to explore all their amazing tools and the insights that they offer. So go ahead, visit herzogfoundation.com to learn more. You won't want to miss these incredible resources. Again, find it all out at herzogfoundation.com.
You know, I've never really felt comfortable sharing pictures of my kids on social media. Then I found Tubu, a premium social app with an actual, authentic community. No bots, no one trolling me or my family. Just clean, wholesome content you can trust.
For the moms of Moms for America out there, Cardio Miracle really truly helped me out personally, and I could see that. But it also helped my mom out, it helped my wife out, it helped my sister out, it helped my friends out. I've really seen the benefits, and this is a time for healing our bodies, our minds, and our souls. And Cardio Miracle has done that for me, and I think it also can do it for our moms. Head to our link, cardiomiracle.com/moms, for a discount and to get started today.
All right, moms, welcome back. Before we continue with our interview with Jillian, I'd like to invite all of you to like, subscribe, and share our podcast. This is how we get our podcast out to the world. We let our mama friends know. So please share this podcast with your moms in your circle and let them know about Jillian's story and actually about Jack Brewer that's coming up as well. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for our podcast, please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net. I would love to hear from you and any suggestions you may have. Also, I want to invite all of our moms that are listening to join the movement and here at Moms for America. If you haven't joined the sisterhood, you surely need to. We are moms uniting all across the country. We are fighting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. All of our services are free. We are here to support you, mom. So please check us out at momsforamerica.us. Join the sisterhood. Join the newsletter. Then you'll get our podcast. You'll get our blog. And most importantly, you'll get all of our resources, which are just absolutely phenomenal. What do you think about the whole culture that is wrapped up in The Bachelor? I don't know if it is still as popular as it was. And again, you know, just to your point, now there's so many. I mean, there's the Golden Bachelor, there's the Bachelor, the Bachelorette, the, you know, I don't even Bachelor Nation, all the, I don't even know the whole thing, because I always just felt like, gosh, don't watch it, because it's just not real. And it's just, I felt always bad for the women, you know, in my mind, you know, like.
It is. Yeah. I mean, you know that you're going to get judged as a woman. You know you're going to get judged. And it, but man, like when that show reigned supreme, you got hit. You got hit so hard. And get out of it, Disney is like the largest, one of the largest media conglomerates. So Disney owns ABC, they own AOL, they own People Magazine, they own everything. So you are just getting pummeled. Like whatever topic it is, whatever stupid thing you did or whatever, you're just getting hit. And then your family's getting hit. And then it is, it's a rippling effect that is so bad. And so whatever rumor it is, may or may not be true about you, it is on everyone's mind. And then they meet you and they're on a TV interview. They're asking you about it. And you're tied to this agreement that you made that you cannot tell the truth. So now your arms are tied behind your back and you're like, I can't say this didn't happen, you know, or they edit it in a way to make you think you were naked or X, Y, and Z, but you can't tell the truth because you're tied to a contract. And, you know, on not just that, women, you know, the primary audience for the show is women. So women judging women, that's a nasty world. That's a nasty world. So the looks, you know, how your face looks, how your hair looks, how your outfits look, how you act, who you are, your character. I mean, everything about you is getting ripped up because people watching, they want to be you, or they know someone or their daughter's better than you. Right. So they're going to tear you apart and they're not scared to do that. But it's really funny when you get to be friends with the guys. So usually how it goes, it's Bachelor tapes, the Bachelorette tapes, and the spinoff tapes that year. So that sequence of shows, they all become friends. So my group of guys that I was partnered with was Caitlin Bristow's Bachelorette guys. So we all did a spinoff together. So we all became really close because we all filmed in the same year.
Okay.
And it's funny to hear their perspective because guys are getting praised. You have an majority female audience and they're just like loving every one of them. And so radically
can
different
imagine.
Experience that we have because they don't care about the guy's clothes. They don't really care as much. I mean, sure, they're definitely going to get hit, but not at all to the degree that women do. And then, so now you're in this wild experience. Your family and no one that you've known outside of this little bachelor bubble can relate to the experience that you've been through. You know, and you're just watching people, TV figures. I mean, Jennifer Aniston watches, the Kardashians watch. I mean, there's athletes that watch, and you'll be amazed at like when Jimmy Kimmel and Ellen DeGeneres just start making fun of you and you're like voiceless and
you're like, hold on a second.
Like,
let me come
you.
On.
And like, hey, I loved you on TV, but you hate me. Like, it is kind of a wild experience and people can't take you seriously or even your friends. Oh, you're friends with her, Jillian. She's kind of really. And like, they're judging you off the show. People who you did know and their parents are like, oh, I didn't know that about her. I'm like, you know,
well, people love, and especially women, right? They love to hate someone or they're jealous.
Especially if they see an opportunity that they could have been you, that could have been me, that should have been me. And how dare you? How dare you pick her to be in the show? And it's just like torturous. I mean, for me, they picked apart my body. Like that was like my thing. It was like being a fitness girl. So it was, I don't think anyone's been ripped apart for their body. And if you're a female, you know, like, you're probably most hard on yourself, right? So having my body put on some sort of pedestal was wild. I don't think they've ever had a character like that until me on the female side. And I was just, people wanted, oh, I love you. You love the way you look. Or, oh my God, she's a man. She's gross. She's disgusting. And you're like, what am I doing?
Right.
This is wild.
You are out there literally for all the world to see on these shows.
It's a wild experience to ever get taken seriously again. I got a few calls from like members of like the Senate. Hey, Jillian, I watched you on TV. I heard it didn't go well. And I'm like, so now I can't be taken seriously in public by anyone. My first guy I dated after, his mom was like, ooh, I watched your season. You're kind of special. And I'm like,
oh boy.
You know, so it's a lot of judging. It's a lot of judging. And it took a long time to kind of like wash that off. I don't know how else to say it.
Well, no, I like you said, I mean, you from reality, I mean, everything comes with a cost, right? Everything comes with a cost.
You don't know till it happens.
Yeah. And what about the fact, I always wanted to ask someone this, the fact that, you know, you and how many other gals are, you know, kissing the same guy and vying for the same attention and all the, what was it like with the other women? I mean, just, I mean, it's just a setup for jealousy. It's a setup for, it's destruction. It just, it's a kind of a setup for just
You would
nobody
be
wins.
surprised.
Nobody wins on this by the time you really win.
You would be surprised, like the sense of camaraderie that you feel. Because I think people don't understand that we're there for up to 3.5 months. Three and a
That's a
half
long
months
time.
without your cell phone, without internet, without knowing the day of the week. At some point, you don't know what month it is. You don't know where you're going, what you're doing. You have absolutely no contact with the outside world. You're not watching television. You don't know anything that's going on. You're not paying bills. You're not going to work. You're not talking to your mom, not talking to your best friend. You're not taking care of your dog, your kids. You
Wow,
are
yeah.
in a bubble. You are in a bubble, and it's very weird. And you guys all have an outside lives that you just completely cut off. And at some point, the tension gets so high because you're just full of anxiety and you're traveling and you're moving. You don't know what's going on, that a fork falls on the ground and you're crying. You don't know why. But these girls, they become your best friends. And I don't think that anyone kind of can understand how long TV time is. So if I were to put you in a room with a stranger with no outside influence, no kids, no husband, no
Yeah.
TV, no internet, no books, nothing. No, I lied. We did have books. No radio, no sense of anything. All you do is
You're on
talk.
lockdown. You're on
You're in
lockdown.
lockdown and you're talking. So
Yeah.
you that stranger that you've now been with for a week, you know better than people you've known 10 years because all you're doing is getting to know each other. So we became very, very close friends, and we're all kind of in the same situation. And oh, you need a shirt? Borrow my shirt. Oh, let me do your hair. There's a huge sense of camaraderie. And a few of us, at least on my season, we did Bible studies every day together, and some of the cameramen would join in. We
But
did
how
that.
much is it about, how much is it about the bachelor then? How much is it about him?
It is, but I mean, most of the time you don't even get to see him. You're in the house with the girls the majority of the time. You don't get to see a whole lot of him. You
Okay.
do these group dates. You might see him for a couple hours that week, but the rest of the week you're with the girls.
Oh.
So you make the most of that
I
situation.
get
And
what you're
honestly,
saying,
one
yeah.
girl comes home crying, other girls will make you feel better. I think it gets the most tense at the end. The closer you get, then they start, you don't have the girlfriends to rely on. It's like you and two other people, and now you guys are, no, it's like we're fighting to win, and you are now secluded from everyone else. You don't have the people you trust to lean on because you definitely get cliques within the house. But for the most part, we usually all get along. It's closer to the end where things could get a little bit more tense. But I think we've all come to like love each other, which is really weird. The only people like manipulating you to hate each other are probably the producers.
Right. I was about to say, are the people that are
Because you're
running the
kind of like
show?
all freaking out
Because,
together. You're all nervous together. Like,
right.
you're kind of like, you have no one else to talk to but each other. So if you want to go in there as a lone wolf for 3.5 months, I don't think that's possible.
Yeah. Well, what would be some of your advice to the younger generation that watches The Bachelor or The Bachelorette? I guess everyone knows that it's not real to
You
some
think that.
degree. You know, some of it is, you know, not real, and some of it is real. But what do you say to the people that, to the kids that watch it? I guess I just want them to be kind of guarded more and not so enthralled in this reality or non-reality world.
Well, it's just when you see how the sausage is made, it's like everything is different, right? And
Yeah.
I would just tell people, okay, it is reality to a point. Those conversations happening, yes, but like, why are they happening? So I'm unashamed to say, like, me and my husband, we love Bravo, but like, time and again, my husband, like, dude, why would this guy say that? I go, why do you think that's being brought up? Because a producer is saying, hey, bring them over, bring
Right.
this up, encourage this conversation, like, or this weird stunt that they're doing. Like, why is this girl calling? This episode I actually watched on one of the Real Housewives shows. It was like, why is this girl playing dress up in a bridal store when she's not engaged and telling her boyfriend that she froze her eggs? Like, this is all a setup because it's a funny little thing. I go, this is not real life. Like, she would not do
Right.
this in her own time. She looks nuts. I go, it's highly encouraged. It's funny to watch. And I think it's really hard to kind of understand that these situations and conversations and tears are highly manufactured, but they are, and it's for entertainment at the end of the day.
Right.
And people
And
now
that's
know,
what, and I guess that's what we have to realize. It is entertainment.
yeah, it
Yeah.
totally is.
Yeah.
There's some reality in there for sure. but it is definitely entertained. It's definitely turned up. That's what I would say. Everyone's personalities are very turned up.
So you didn't find love there, but God had other plans for you. And let's fast forward a little bit. So bachelor's over. Where do you go? What do you do? Because you've landed with an amazing man and two beautiful children now, using your platform in the conservative arena and really championing a lot of faith, family, freedom content. So how did you meet your husband? You didn't meet him on set.
I did not know him then. And I lived in DC for a long time and he lived there at the same time. And we actually had friends in common, but he didn't know me then. Thank God. What a weird thing. That would be really weird. So I met him at work when I moved back to DC. After the show, I like popped around for a little bit because it was a very weird time. Made my way back to DC not long after. And I took a job. I was doing PR for a few conservative outlets. And he did the digital side of it. And I met him there. He was, and I'm just going to say it because he would say it. He was very enthralled by the way that I looked. So he had hunted me down and he was like, I'm going to get to know her. And he did. So, but it was super quick. We started dating and God had really had spoke to me. Probably one of the more difficult times in my life, probably ever. And he said, I sent you Michael. Like, you're not alone here anymore. I sent you Michael. And it was very affirmative that like that was my person. And I knew it, but he confirmed it in a way that I needed to hear it. And then we got engaged not long after, and now we have relocated and we are here in South Florida with two little munchkins that we said we probably would never have.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah, never say never. And look what God does as you go on your journey with Him. I know your faith is very important to you as well. Maybe you're more outspoken now. Boy, we all really grow up in our life. And boy, when you become a mom, things really change. You become a wife, things really change. And God's been opening up a lot of doors and opportunities. And look at you with a family now. And you said you never thought you'd have one or kids.
Well, so I thought that, God had put on my heart to really help kids who needed help. And I knew that God was going to put me in a space to help children. And I do that in various ways. But one thing that I always said I was going to do was going to adopt children. And I still think that there's a place there for that. I'm not counting that out at all. I'm really hopeful, actually. But I thought that would be how I have kids. And then after I got engaged, God had laid it on my heart, like, Jillian. It says be fruitful and multiply. It's a
There you
command
go.
giving you. Like you don't get out. Like that's not, you don't just get, no, you get adopted. No, this is it. And so I remember just time and again, I listened to a sermon and he would lean into it. I remember going to the Bible Museum and that verse again, I just felt like it was flashing itself everywhere. And I tell my, well, fiance at the time, I was like, I think we're gonna have to have kids. And then we go to my friend David's church in New York City. It's King's Church, which is oddly my last name. He goes, hey, you guys are gonna have four kids. And I'm like, huh, I don't think so. He's like, yes, you
Look at
are.
that.
You guys, four kids. And I'm like, but it just kept happening and I knew it was gonna happen. And then God laid out, his timing is always the best. We moved here, bought a house. Within a month, I was pregnant. And I was like, oh, well.
Look at that.
Yeah. And God just spoke to me so clearly because even then I was like terrified. And he told me very quickly, I was freaking out. And I'm not super ashamed to say that. It's just part of my testimony. I was very overwhelmed because I was not one of those people like, hey, we're trying. I was not in that place. And I was like, kicked my husband out of the room. And I said, I need some time. And I was just praying on it. And God just said, Jillian, this is not about you.
You,
It's like,
right? This is so
I was
much
being real
bigger.
selfish. And he said, this is my child. And I'm telling you, this is your, you have to take care of my child. And I was, okay. This is yours now to take care of. He's mine, not yours. It's not about you. And you must take care of him for me. Okay. So from there on out, having children was completely different. And how I raised them was completely different because he pointed out to me very clearly, they are not mine.
Yeah, they are alone from
They're the
heaven.
Lord's, and I have to raise them the way that I think He wants them to be raised. So yeah, a
Absolutely.
lot of added pressure when you think about it that way, which it should be.
It should be, yeah. Yeah, my dad would always say that to me. You're on loan from heaven. I've got a when I enter heaven's gates, one of the biggest things that Jesus is going to ask me is about the way that I parented and the treasure that I gave, that I was given. So it is a
True.
huge it is just a huge gift. So some advice maybe to some of the younger people that are listening today that are trying to think of, because now we've got a generation of women that have been, sold the whole feminist lie that work is more important and that motherhood or marriage is like a prison. All it does is hold you back. Some words of advice to the people that are kind of hearing all this, and we got to push back against this message. I mean,
Oh,
it's
I
devastating a
feel
lot of
like
women.
God put that on my heart because I bought and sold. I was the number one buyer of the lie. I was like, I'm never gonna do it. I'm never gonna slow down. I love going vacations and I love work. I love to work. And God humbled me very quickly, time and again in my life, to say, hey, your identity is not in your work or who you work for or what you do. He has had to humble me there many of times to make that very clear that my identity is through Him and not a job title. So first of all, that's changed my life radically. Secondly is my life is different. It is different at a different pace. And I had a whole lot of fun in my 20s, but man, if I could change it. And again, I bought and sold a lot, never gonna have kids. They were not gonna slow me down. They changed my life and did slow me down. And
An incredible
I
way.
hate myself for not doing this sooner. I realized that, like, I tell some of my little sisters the other day, because she's a little older, I said, you don't understand. You think you understand the value of time, but when you have kids, you really see that and you can't get it back. So while I had so much fun and I was building my career and I was doing these fun things and flying here, flying there, like, I had a great time. It doesn't compare. It doesn't compare because now I'm a lot less selfish. But it's so much more meaningful. And every day, I go to the gym for an hour or so, I miss my kids. It is just wild. I just want to be with them all the time. And even still, like you said, they're going to grow up soon. They're not always going to be here. And I treasure my family so much. And I'm, what is maybe more important than a career is the next generation and how you pour into them. And if my greatest thing is not what I fulfilled in my career, which I'm blessed to have a great one, but it is the children that I'm giving to this world to see what they're going to do, the warrior spirits that they have to fight for God in whatever ways that that looks like. That might be the biggest thing that I ever give to this world or my children. And so understand that that is a commandment, that that is a job itself. And the weight of that is probably more powerful than anything I could do politically or with my influence or in media, giving these children and raising them right to be just fierce warriors for Christ
Amen, sister.
is probably the most powerful thing. And I mean, the modern feminist movement, to your point, is absolutely demonic. It's absolutely a lie. And I want to tell moms, like, as scary or as intimidating as the world may seem, or even movies make it look, childbirth, we're made for it.
Yeah, it's
Pregnancy
natural.
is
It's
beautiful. You're
natural, but it's
oddly gonna miss
painful.
it. Yes, and you're actually gonna miss being pregnant. And I tell pregnant people that all the time. I was like, you're gonna miss it. It's not awful. Everyone wakes to be awful. They make childbirth to be awful. It is so special. It, having a newborn, they cry a lot, but it is the best time. Like, and they people make everything out to be horrible. I go, you're weak. Don't be weak and buy out to these lies because it is the most special thing. And your body's made for it, and you're made for it. And I tell everyone to stop listening to people who make the worst of everything. I go, because it's a good time.
Well, look what God has done. You are a beautiful testimony to, wow, look at taking what God has, kind of started in the media and pushed you along. You were in your search for love. You find your husband, you have your babies, you have your family. Can you let everybody know real quick, Jillian, how they can follow you? And I know we're going to be working together in the future. We have an interview coming up right after this break, but how do we find Jillian on Instagram and
I'm
so on and
going
so
to
forth?
double check because one has an underscore and one does not. Okay. I forget which one is which. So on Twitter, on X, sorry, because I'm a huge Elon fan, X, it is Jilly_, it's JILLIE underscore Alexis. And then on Instagram, it's the same name, no underscore, Jilly Alexis. And my name's Jillian Alexis Anderson King. And it's a long mouthful, but that's how it's labeled on the internet.
Well, thank you for joining us. Like I said, we're going to come back with an interview that we did at CPAC with you and another special guest. But thanks for your words. Thanks for sharing the backside of The Bachelor and what it was really like and your testimony. We appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me. Good to talk to you again.
Well, thanks again, Jillian, for sharing your story. And of course, the most incredible part to this whole story was your testimony and what God has done and the gift of motherhood. So thanks so much, Jillian. Jillian is keeping busy. She is actually on the board for the Jack Brewer Foundation. Jack is a former NFL safety team captain and presidential appointee. He established his foundation in 2006 to bring resources to the underserved by empowering from within. Now, their programs include an American Heroes Fatherless Youth Program and a curriculum which supports incarcerated veterans and youthful offenders. Here's my conversation with Jack Brewer and Jillian when we were at CPAC. All right, so you were just on that stage.
Yes, ma'am.
I heard everybody loved your information. They were excited to hear from you. What was your message today?
Well, first off, I gave glory to God, and I called on
God. He's got his Bible here. Look at this, man
Amen.
Of the word.
Amen. So I call on God and the Holy Spirit to speak for me. And, you know, the focus of my message today was to remind us all to remember the most underserved, as the Bible tells us to do. You know, so many issues we push for in this nation really focus on the haves. And I just come here on behalf of my Lord and Savior to remind people that we have to focus on the have-nots, on the people that don't have voices, the people that don't have parents, right? You know, the children whose fathers are in prison and locked up, and families that are going through generational curses. We have to stand for those folks as well. And so I just want to remind particularly this audience, this conservative audience, with so many people are living the American dream, that we have to make a special effort for the folks that can't see it.
Amen. So important. I mean, as moms, our hearts go out to
Amen.
The kids that are in need. Jillian, I know that you're on the board here. What was your connection? And tell us about this foundation just from your perspective.
Well, so the Jack Brewer Foundation, we have a focus on fatherhood, and that touches many different areas. And we do legislate. We help with legislative efforts. We help in prisons. We help with at-risk youth. We have our hands in a lot of things. We're focused on helping the world's most vulnerable populations, the widows and the orphans and the fatherless, like you said, all around the globe, not just here. So we do this work all over. But I met Jack years ago, and Jack is someone, and anyone that's met Jack can attest to this, that he's someone that sucks you in. He's a human magnet to other people.
A human magnet?
He
that's
is.
A good one.
He
all
is.
Right.
You know, and yeah, so he is. He sucked us in so much so that I live across the street from him now. That's how sucked in I got. Me and my family relocated to be more hands-on with the foundation. But oddly enough, I got pregnant, so I'm like less seen but do more work. Which is totally true. You know, but God assigned me to him many years ago. He said, you're going to help him. What he's doing is great. And I told Jack, I had this conversation with him. I said, wherever you go, I go. That's
that.
It. God said it.
God's
I have to do it.
Puts people in your life like that. You're so inspired. You're so together on the mission. Tell us what your foundation is doing right now and how our moms can benefit or share your information.
Well, first off, we're all created by a mother. And so I'm a product of a praying mom.
Oh, I love that.
And I love my mom. And what my mom did for me was, you know, she really instilled in me God's word. And so I can identify with God's heart when I see it. And I really think, you know, that that's just so important when you talk about mothers. And that's why it breaks my heart to know that we have a fatherlessness crisis in our country. Why? Because we've abandoned a bunch of moms around the world. And particularly in America, where we have 18 million fatherless kids. And so what does that mean when you're fatherless? It means usually some man is abandoning a woman, whether it was intentionally or unintentionally. And so that's why the Word of God tells us to visit the orphan and the widow, right?
That's right.
And that's
it's a biblical mandate,
biblical mandate. And so I just come to stand on that, you know? organization like this, I think it's what's important about talking about fatherhood, right? People talk about fatherhood sometimes in America.
Boy, talk about a role that's been disregarded and lost.
And people get offended
and
by
that
it.
And that is redefined. We're redefining fatherhood and redefining motherhood, but we actually get them back to what the Bible called us to do.
Absolutely.
And our roles that we were actually assigned to do, not what the culture tells us.
Right.
We're assigned to do.
Yeah, we just had a, you know, a young person talk about, you know, masculinity, and it, I mean, it's all become so confusing. That's why foundations, that's why voices like yours are so important, because we have, like you said, we've completely disregarded fatherhood, and we've redefined mothers as birthing people and chest feeders, and it's, the insanity is off the charts. As a mom, I know you see that all the time.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane. But so Jack, we've been friends longer than I've been a mother, right? And I see how he talks about his mom, and I see what his mom poured into him.
Amen.
And like I said, we are friends more than anything. And I've seen, you know, we've all had challenges at that times. Maybe we stepped away and off course. And I know his mom very well. I love her, Miss Rosa. But she poured into him. And I really believe when the Bible says, when you teach the kids the way they should go, they'll never depart from it. So even when we might stray away into the world, we come back because we had praying moms.
Yes.
Right? And then we have moms that fast and pray for the children. And so I look at him just as an example. One, him and his wife, how they run their household, I admire it very much. He's also the godfather of my children.
You need good mentors,
but,
that's it.
Yes, yes. It very much so. But then I also think about his mom and see how Jack has come back and now been such a leader and a warrior. And I put that same effort into being a mom myself. There's not a day I don't constantly pray for my kids, whether they're in the womb, whether they're in the womb, just pouring over them, reading scripture over them. I don't fast and pray for them every single week. Like, I see what it's done for him, and I would love my kids to, like, wow, that's what Rosa created as a mom, and she stuck to her biblical role. I want to be able to do that too. So I'm constantly looking at him and his wife, but also his mom too. They are absolutely mentors. I've never actually said that or made that connection.
Oh, absolutely. We need much more mentors. We need much, much more Titus women, you know, just mentoring the young and being an example. Again, let us know where the foundation is, how we can connect, and let the moms know how we get to you.
Yes, it's the JackBrewerFoundation.org. And, you know, we're always looking for great people to come see our programs. We're really hands-on. You know, I know I go speak on stages and on TV and all these different things, but my heart is in the prisons. My heart is with those juveniles. My heart is with the people.
Yeah.
I like, you know, I lead every mission that we do. I mean, whether I'm going to Haiti or Guatemala, so I'm hands-on, and, you know, I don't always wear a suit. And so it's important.
But you look good in your suit.
Thank you, but moms, we got to do something with these boys. Our girls, too, but we got to do something with these boys in our nation and get them to understanding that God created them to protect and to provide. And so if we don't get that back in our nation, you know, nothing else will work. And so Malachi 4:6, which is the last verse in the Old Testament, says, "He shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse." So the policy things that we're all advocating for and the craziness and madness that we see in our nation, those are all curses that have come upon us because we've gotten out of God's order. And God's order that the man is the head of the household, and we need to protect and provide. And so if we can't get back to that, we won't get back to what it really means and what our founding fathers thought of when they established this great land.
Okay. And
well,
to his point, we don't have dads in their roles, we have moms stepping outside of their roles.
Oh, absolutely.
And that is something that has really ruined our culture.
We talk so much about being out of order.
That's right.
That the house is out of order.
Out of order.
We got to get back in order.
That's the right way. Don't spare the rod. You spare the rod, you hate the child.
And it's so true. When we don't want to be the protectors.
No.
You know, we don't want to be the gatherers, the hunters. We want to be the nurturers. We want to be the homemakers.
Amen.
That's what comes instinctually to us. You know, so
absolutely.
When it is, when it's out of order, our children are out of order, and we must be we have to be the mentors for them.
Glory to God.
So thank you so much, Jack, for coming. Thanks, Jillian. I know we're going to hear some more from you because you're going to be one of our mom ambassadors.
Yes, yes.
Love it. And we're going to do an interview today with you as well. So thanks, Jack.
Yeah, amen. Love you, moms. Keep America great.
Now, Jack mentioned that our culture has gotten off track, and that's one of the issues he addressed on the stage at CPAC.
President Trump has done so much, but I think the most important thing that he's done in front of the American people is he has stood for biblical truth. When he sat in front of the nation and said, God created man and woman, and that's it.
That's right.
And so when you talk about the education system, our founding fathers did not create an education system that is going to indoctrinate boys and girls to make them believe that they can be transgender and any gender they wanted to choose. Our education system was established with the basic belief in the Word of God. And so anything else throws us off. And I think President Trump has taken a stand. I think you've seen more and more companies coming by and back him. More and more employers in America have backed him because we're getting rid of these DEI policies and all these things that have drifted into our education system to start to pick winners and losers and actually separate us and put us back decades in regards to social and biblical justice. And so I just think that we should all understand the spiritual time in which we're living right now in America, particularly with our children.
Yep.
And let's get the Ten Commandments back in our schools. You're seeing it happen in Louisiana. You're seeing it happen in so many other states around our country. We all must take a stand, no matter what your religion is, to get this word back into the hearts and minds of our children that may not have access to it.
Boy, those were some encouraging words from Jack Brewer about the Trump administration and all that they're doing. And also, as he said, we must take a stand to support biblical values in our culture. You can find more about Jack at thejackbrewerfoundation.org. I also love that Jack had to say so many good things about his mother, and we all come from a mother. So true, right? Well, speaking about mothers, I would like to invite all of you mamas that are listening to like, subscribe, and share our podcast. This is how we get our word out. This is how we share these incredible stories that everyone has to share with us here every week. Also, if you have an idea or a topic for the podcast, would you please email me at podcast@momsforamerica.net? I would love to hear from you. And lastly, all of you that are listening out there, please make sure that you join us here. I hope you're a part of our movement. I hope you're a part of our sisterhood. How do you do it? Super simple. You go to momsforamerica.us and you sign up for our newsletter. You join the movement there. You take advantage of all of our resources, our seminars, our webinars. We have so much incredible information for you moms. Everything that you're dealing with in your home, everything that happens at your kitchen table, we are discussing at Moms for America, and we have those resources for you. We are moms all across the country, uniting for faith, family, freedom, and the Constitution. So again, please check us out at momsforamerica.us. And as I say every week, let's keep changing our country one home at a time. I'll see you next week. A special thank you to our sponsors, the Herzog Foundation and TUVU. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Herzog Foundation.